We turn in the holy and inspired Word of God to Mark chapter 14, the Gospel according to Mark chapter 14. We'll read the first 25 verses of Mark chapter 14. This is the Word of God. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes saw how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." They murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad, and promised to give him money. And he saw how he might conveniently betray him. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, "Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, 'The master saith, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us." And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me." And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And he answered and said unto them, "It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed, and brake it, and gave to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." We'll read the Word of God that far tonight. And on the basis of that and many other passages of God's Word, it's the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 29 and the first part of Lord's Day 30. Going to consider together tonight the two questions and answers of Lord's Day 29, as well as the first question and answer of Lord's Day 30. Do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Not at all, But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing away of sin itself, being only the sign and confirmation thereof appointed of God, so the bread in the Lord's Supper is not changed into the very body of Christ, though agreeably to the nature and properties of sacraments, it is called the body of Christ Jesus. Why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Christ speaks thus not without great reason, namely, not only thereby to teach us that as bread and wine support this temporal life, so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life, but more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Ghost, as we receive by the mouths of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own persons suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. What difference is there between the Lord's Supper and the Popish Mass? The Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have a full pardon of all sin by the only sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he himself has once accomplished on the cross, and that we, by the Holy Ghost, are engrafted into Christ, who according to his human nature is now not on earth, but in heaven at the right hand of God his Father, and will there be worshipped by us. But the Mass teaches that the living and dead have not the pardon of sins through the sufferings of Christ, unless Christ is also daily offered for them by the priests, and further, that Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine, and therefore is to be worshipped in them, so that the Mass, at bottom, is nothing else than a denial of the one sacrifice and sufferings of Jesus Christ, and an accursed idolatry. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the three questions and answers that we consider tonight are polemical. The Lord's Supper is a symbol of the unity of the Church of Jesus Christ, and yet throughout history it has been the occasion for much debate and division. And on account of that, there are many who would like to remove or to soften the polemical language here in these questions and answers, in particular, question and answer 80. They view question and answer 80 as being too harsh and too condemnatory towards the Roman Catholic Church. And they want to remove that and to soften that polemical language in the interest of making peace with Rome. Though it might grieve us that this sacrament, which is to be the symbol of the unity of believers in Christ, is the occasion for much debate and division, we may not neglect our polemical calling. These questions and answers are necessarily polemical. We still today have a controversy with the Roman Catholic Church and with the Lutherans and many evangelical churches in the church world today on account of their wrong explanations of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It's necessary for the defense of the truth regarding the sacrament that the church engage in polemics against those false teachings. This is no minor and insignificant matter. It's necessary to set forth the truth with respect to the Lord's Supper over against the errors, because those errors touch on important truths with respect to who Jesus Christ is, and important truths with respect to the saving work of Jesus Christ. The key issue that's addressed in these three questions and answers is the real presence of Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The previous Lord's Day, Lord's Day 28, set forth the main lines of the symbolism of the Lord's Supper. The table is a symbol of our covenant fellowship with God, and therefore with the rest of the Church of Jesus Christ. The broken bread and the poured out wine are symbols of the broken body and the shed blood of Christ on the cross for us. And our eating and drinking of the bread and wine are symbols of the believer's faith by which we embrace and receive Christ and all of his benefits. But now Lord's Day 29 and the first question and answer of Lord's Day 30 address a key issue with respect to the sacrament. And that's the question, is Christ present in the sacrament? And if he is, how is he present in the sacrament? These questions and answers set forth the biblical and reformed understanding of the sacrament, that Christ is really, spiritually, present in the Lord's Supper. That's a truth of great significance for us as believers in our spiritual life. This truth establishes the awesome significance and holiness of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Christ is present in the sacrament. And this truth establishes the great spiritual benefit there is for us as believers in the sacrament. In the sacrament, Christ is present, and we eat him and drink here. We consider the truth of these three questions and answers tonight under the theme, "This is my body." First of all, we'll take note of Christ's real presence in the sacrament. Secondly, this is a spiritual presence. And then thirdly, a beneficial presence. Begin in our understanding of the presence of Christ in the sacrament, we start by establishing the fact that his presence is a real presence in the Lord's Supper. We state the truth of Christ's real presence in the sacrament over against the error of those who deny that truth. There are those who deny that Jesus Christ is really present in the Lord's Supper. That error is often associated with the name of the reformer Ulrich Zwingli, who was a Swiss reformer who lived about the same time as Martin Luther and John Calvin. Ulrich Zwingli was a godly reformer, but like Martin Luther, still had a wrong understanding of the sacrament. Though they don't often appeal to Zwingli, this is the same error that's taught by many in the church world today, many Baptist churches and many broadly evangelical churches maintain this same error. The error is that Christ is not present in the sacrament. They say that the Lord's Supper is merely a commemoration and a remembrance of what Jesus Christ did some 2,000 years ago at the cross. Now, they do not deny that as believers we do partake of Jesus Christ by faith. They'll say that we do partake of Christ by faith. But they'll say we do not partake of Christ in any real way in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Christ is not present in the sacrament, they say. If that's the case, if it's true that Christ is not present in the sacrament, that means that there's no urgency to the call to us rightly to examine ourselves before coming to the Lord's Supper, that we may discern the Lord's body. And then there's no fear of condemnation for partaking unworthily if Christ is not at all present in the sacrament. That's a wrong understanding of the Lord's Supper. Our response to that error is to acknowledge that the Lord's Supper is a commemoration and a remembrance of what Christ did at the cross. Christ said, "This do in remembrance of me." And when we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we are commemorating, we are remembering what Jesus Christ did for us some 2,000 years ago. But the biblical and the Reformed truth regarding the sacrament is that's not all that the sacrament is. It is a memorial and a remembrance, but there's more to it than that. The Lord's Supper also means that Jesus Christ is really present in the sacrament and gives himself to believers in the sacrament. That's the teaching both of God's Word and our Reformed confessions. Mark 14 gives to us the words of Christ at the institution of the Lord's Supper as he celebrated the last Passover with his disciples on the night before he was betrayed. He says in verse 22, "Take, eat, this is my body." And verse 24, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." As we'll come to see in a little while, the Lord willing, there are many who wrongly interpret and wrongly apply those words of Jesus Christ to teach that Christ is physically present in the sacrament. We'll come to see in a moment the error of that. But we must reckon honestly with these words of Jesus Christ, who says, "This is my body, this is my blood." What that teaches is that the believer partaking of the bread and the wine by faith is fed by Christ in the Lord's Supper. Christ gives himself, his body and his blood, to the believer in the sacrament so that the believer really partakes of Christ. He eats Christ's body and he drinks Christ's blood. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29, the Apostle Paul, giving by the inspiration of the Spirit again the words of the institution of Christ, says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The call to examine ourselves prior to coming to the Lord's table is a discerning of the Lord's body in the sacrament. And what's understood is that Christ's body is present, really present, in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. That's the teaching of Answer 79 of Lord's Day 29. Partway through the answer it says, "But more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood as we receive by the mouths of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him. We are really partakers of his body and blood because he is really present in the sacrament. That's stated even more clearly in the Belgic Confession in Article 35. Article 35 says, "In the meantime, we err not when we say that what is eaten and drunk by us is the proper and natural body and the proper blood of Christ." We don't err. We state the truth when we say we partake of the proper body and the proper blood of Christ in the sacrament. And Article 35 of the Belgic Confession goes on to say, "Christ communicates himself with all his benefits to us, nourishing, strengthening, and comforting our poor, comfortless souls by the eating of his flesh, quickening and refreshing them by the drinking of his blood." The biblical and the Reformed truth regarding the Lord's Supper is that Christ is really present. He really gives himself to believers so that we really partake of Christ in the sacrament. That's not the main way that we partake of Christ. The main way that we partake of Christ is as Christ is proclaimed to us in the preaching of the gospel. As the gospel is proclaimed, the Spirit works faith in our hearts, and by faith, hearing Christ in the gospel, we partake of Christ. But on account of the weakness of our faith, not any lack in the preaching of the gospel, but on account of the weakness of our faith, Christ has also ordained the sacraments, and in particular, the Lord's Supper. In the Lord's Supper, Christ is present, and we really partake of him. That gives the lie to the false charge that's brought against the Reformed faith. That false charge that's brought against us is that we deny the presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper. That's the charge of Rome and of the Lutherans against us. You Reformed people, you deny that Christ is present in the Lord's Supper. You don't deal honestly with the words of institution where Christ says, "This is my body, this is my blood." Part of our polemic against those errors is a refuting of the false charges that they make against us. That's a false charge. The Reformed faith does not deny the real presence of Christ in the sacrament. We maintain boldly, loudly, unashamedly, Christ is really present in the Lord's Supper. That's significant for our partaking of the sacrament. It's the presence of Christ that establishes the awesome significance of the sacrament and partaking. It establishes the seriousness of Christian discipline, the first part of the official work of which is being barred from partaking of the table of the Lord. This establishes the real spiritual benefit for us in partaking, the fact that Christ himself is present and gives himself to believers in the sacrament. This ought to, and it does, influence our perspective in coming to the table of the Lord. It's not merely a remembrance and a memorial of what Christ has done. It is that when we partake, we are remembering and commemorating what Christ has done for us some 2,000 years ago at the cross. But the Lord's Supper is more than a memorial. at the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is present. The issue is not the reality of Christ's presence in the supper. The issue, rather, is the manner of Christ's presence and the manner of our partaking of Christ in the sacrament. Our polemic against the Roman Catholic Church and against the Lutherans does not have to do with whether Christ is present or not. The issue is the manner. How is Christ present and how do we partake of him? The biblical and the Reformed answer is that Christ is present spiritually, and as believers, we partake of him spiritually by faith. It's at this point that we have to contend with those two main errors with respect to the Lord's Supper, the errors of Rome and the error of the Lutherans. First of all, the error of Rome. The Roman Catholic Church teaches the doctrine of transubstantiation. That long technical word means a change of substance. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that in the sacrament there's a change of substance. Before the priest, there is bread and wine, those real earthly substances. Then, they say, the priest says the magical words of consecration and institution, and then there's a mysterious change that takes place so that now what you have are the physical body and the physical blood of Jesus Christ present. The bread has transformed into the flesh of Christ, and the wine has also been transformed, they say, into the very blood of Christ. Now, when you look at it and when you taste it, they'll say, it's still going to look like and still going to taste like bread and wine. But it's not anymore. There's a change of substance. Now, it's Christ. The Roman Catholic Church, in support of that idea, leans hard on these words of institution of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, this is my body and this is my blood. That must mean, they say, that there was a change so that what was once bread is not that anymore. It's the body of Christ. And what was once wine is not that anymore. Now it's the blood of Christ. This doctrine belongs more broadly to the whole ceremony of the Roman Catholic Mass. What lies beneath this doctrine and the Roman Catholic Mass is the thought that Christ's death on the cross was not enough to satisfy for sin. Yes, it was necessary that Christ die on the cross, they say, but it's also necessary that Christ be repeatedly sacrificed over and over again daily. And without that repeated sacrifice of Christ, there cannot be the pardon of sin for the living and the dead. And so, daily, there has to be, according to Rome, the celebration of the Mass and the change of substance from the bread and the wine to the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And then when that transformation takes place, those who are present have to, they say, venerate the host. They have to worship the bread and the wine because it's not bread and wine anymore. It's Christ. Christ is physically present, and if Christ is physically present, we had better fall down and worship before him. And so they worship. the bread and the wine, which they think has been transformed into Christ. A related but distinct error is the error of the Lutherans, the followers of Martin Luther. The Lutherans teach consubstantiation. And that word means with the substance. The Lutherans say that in the Lord's Supper, there's not a change that takes place so that what was once bread and wine is not that anymore. The Lutherans say, no, it remains bread and wine. But now, in, with, and under the substance of the bread and wine, you also have the physical body and physical blood of Jesus Christ. It looks like bread and wine, and it tastes like that, but now infused into it in some way, in, with, and under the bread and wine, is the body and the blood of Christ. Simple illustration might help in our understanding of this error. The illustration of a sponge. You have a sponge which is one substance, you dip it in the water, and now the water is in the sponge, with the sponge, under the sponge. There are two substances together with each other. When you view it from a distance, you see the sponge. It looks like a sponge, but now there's water infused in that. So the Lutherans say, in a similar way, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the bread and wine now in, with, and under them, are the body and the blood of Christ physically. And the Lutherans as well will appeal to the words of institution of Jesus Christ, this is my body, this is my blood. In some way, they say, Christ must be physically present. Both are errors. Both the teaching of Rome and the teaching of the Lutherans are serious errors with respect to the sacrament. Christ is not physically present in the Lord's Supper. The bread and wine do not change into the body and blood of Christ physically. Christ's physical body and blood are not in, with, and under the bread and the wine. The error of Rome, in particular, is a denial of the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross. That's the conclusion of answer 80, so that the Mass at bottom is nothing else than a denial of the one sacrifice and sufferings of Jesus Christ. Christ suffered once upon the cross to pay fully for the sins of all of his people. There need not be this ongoing daily sacrifice of Christ for us to have the pardon of our sins. Rome's error is also an accursed idolatry. They say that there's this transformation that's taken place, but in reality, it's bread and wine. For them to fall down and to venerate the bread and wine, to worship the bread and wine, is an accursed idolatry. The error of both Rome and the Lutherans is a wrong explanation of these words of institution of Jesus Christ. They take Jesus to mean, when he says, this is my body and this is my blood, that the only explanation of that is that Christ is physically present. But that does not make sense even in the context of when Jesus said those words. Surrounding Jesus are his disciples. Jesus is there present with them in flesh and blood. He's not yet died upon the cross. And when Jesus holds up the piece of bread and says, this is my body, we can be sure that not a one of the disciples thought, oh yes, now there's a transformation that's taken place and this is actually Christ's flesh. And when Christ said, this is my blood, We can be sure that not a one of his disciples thought that when they drank that no, now they're actually drinking the blood of Jesus Christ. The disciples understood that Jesus, in using this language, was speaking of the bread and the wine as signs and symbols, that the bread symbolizes his body and the blood symbolizes, the wine rather symbolizes his blood. What adds to the error of Rome and the Lutherans is that in their view, unbelievers partake of the body and the blood of Christ. Physically, anyone who's present chews with the mouth the body of Christ and drinks the blood of Jesus Christ. Any unbeliever who partakes of the sacrament, according to Rome and the Lutherans, is eating and drinking Christ. That's not possible. An unbeliever may partake of the elements, might chew bread and drink wine, but no unbeliever partakes of Christ crucified. Christ is not physically present. His real presence is a spiritual presence. That's answer 79. But more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood. And then these words in parentheses are important: by the operation of the Holy Ghost. And then again in Article 35 of the Belgic Confession, but the manner of our partaking of the same is not by the mouth, but by the Spirit through faith. Thus then, though Christ always sits at the right hand of his Father in the heavens, yet doth he not therefore cease to make us partakers of himself by faith. This feast is a spiritual table. Christ is present and gives himself to believers spiritually in the sacrament. That's not at all opposed or contradictory to our saying that Christ is really present in the sacrament. Those ideas do not conflict with each other to say it's a real presence and a spiritual presence. There are many things that are spiritual that are very real. How much of our life as believers is spiritual? The forgiveness of sins, hunger and thirst after righteousness, spiritual joy. Those things are spiritual. They're also very real. God himself is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is very real. Same can be said of Christ's presence in the Lord's Supper. It's a real presence. Christ is really present at the sacrament. That presence is a spiritual presence. He's present in the sacrament by his word and by his Spirit. We may not imagine Christ's presence in the sacrament in a strange, sickly, mystical way. It's by the operation of his Spirit and by the Word that Christ is present. But there is an element of wonder and of real spiritual mystery with respect to Christ's presence in the sacrament. And that's the idea that's conveyed as well in the Belgic Confession. This is beyond our understanding. We know he's present by his Spirit. But his presence is altogether wonderful and beyond our full understanding. Christ is present spiritually, and therefore we partake of Christ spiritually in the sacrament. We partake of Christ not with the physical hand and mouth, but spiritually by faith. Faith is the hand and the mouth of the soul. By faith, which is the mouth of the soul, we partake of Christ. By faith, which is the hand of the soul, we receive and embrace Christ and all of his benefits. That's the same that's true in the preaching of the gospel and how we partake of Christ in the preaching of the gospel. We partake of Christ as believers by faith. And the same is true in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Christ is present spiritually, gives himself to us as believers spiritually at his table. And we partake of Christ by the hand and the mouth of the soul by faith. The fact that Christ is really and spiritually present in the Lord's Supper establishes the truth that the Lord's Supper is of great spiritual benefit to us as believers. The fact that Christ is really present establishes that, as we mentioned earlier in the sermon, the fact that Christ is present, that he gives himself to us in the sacrament, that we really partake of him, means that there's great benefit to us in our partaking. But the fact that Christ is spiritually present also establishes that there's benefit to us in the sacrament. And that's the case because our need is a spiritual need. We have a need for spiritual nourishment. As Jesus teaches us in John 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Even if it was the case, as Rome and the Lutherans teach, that Christ is physically present in the sacrament, that does not benefit us. My need as a believer is not physically to eat the body and to drink the blood of Jesus Christ. My need is not a physical need. My great need is a spiritual need. The need for nourishment spiritually. A spiritual meat and drink that sustains me in my spiritual life. The fact that Christ is spiritually present in the Lord's Supper means that the sacrament is of benefit to us as believers. It provides for us in our need for spiritual nourishment. The benefit to us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and Christ's presence in it is, as set forth in Answer 79, first, that Christ teaches us. We're taught something in the Lord's Supper and by the presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper. And what we're taught is that Christ and Christ alone sustains us. Christ is the one who gives to us spiritual life, and Christ is the one who preserves that spiritual life. And what I need in all of my spiritual life is Christ. We're taught that in the Lord's Supper, but more especially, we're assured of that. Our partaking of the Lord's Supper is a means of grace to us as believers. A means of grace that confirms our faith, that strengthens us in the assurance of faith.
that I partake of Christ. I belong to Christ. I partake of Him in His suffering and His death. He shed His blood and He had His body nailed to the cross for me and the payment of my sins. I am forgiven. I am justified for the sake of Jesus Christ. We're assured in our partaking of the Lord's Supper that we partake of Christ all of our life long, that Christ nourishes us, He feeds us, He strengthens us with His own broken body and His own shed blood to everlasting life. Christ is our all in all. The Lord's Supper assures us that as believers, we belong to Him and partake of Him, His spiritual blessings, His life, His nourishment, and His spiritual joy. What a benefit there is in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper for us. To know that Christ is present and gives Himself to me as one of His chosen elect people. To know that I partake of Jesus Christ, I eat His body, and I drink His poured out blood. What seriousness that gives to a week of self-examination and preparing to come to the table. What awesome significance to look ahead to coming to the table where the Lord Himself is present. What joy that gives to us in our partaking. With what joy do we come to the table of the Lord, and with what joy do we partake of the elements? And with what nourishment do we leave the table? Christ was present. Christ gave Himself, communicated Himself to me in the sacrament. By faith, I ate Christ in His body and partook of Christ's blood. What wonderful nourishment the Lord provides. With what joy and thanks do we leave His table fed and nourished to everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Christ, the true heavenly meat and drink. We thank Thee for Christ who alone sustains and gives us life. We're thankful for Christ who is our all in all, in whom alone we have the forgiveness of our sins, who alone feeds, nourishes, strengthens, preserves us in this life. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt bless Thy word to our hearts, strengthen us in our faith and the confidence of faith. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt so work within us a gratitude for what we have in Christ that shows itself in the week to come, in the faithful carrying out of our callings, and in living holy lives before Thy face. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.